My name's Caleb Yetton. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rock, and this morning we're continuing on in our study called The Essentials of Forgiveness. And this morning we're talking about the promise of forgiveness. And the fact of the matter is, if you know Jesus this morning, you have freedom in Jesus. And the enemy, the devil, the world, our flesh would want us to feel like we're not free. Would want us to live like we're not free. And so we're going to be talking about forgiveness this morning and the freedom that it gives us and the promise of forgiveness and how we can live in that freedom. I'm glad you're here this morning joining us, and I trust that God has something to speak to each one of us. Last week was our first study, our first teaching in this study, and so today's our second one, and I think there's just a lot of life-changing truth when it comes to forgiveness. Whether you've heard these things many times, these verses and these truths that we'll be looking at, or maybe this is the first time you've heard anything like this, I trust that God will meet you and meet each one of us where we are, and He'll speak to us. In 1833, there was the emancipation of slavery in Jamaica. And at this time, when slavery was abolished in Jamaica, there was this giant celebration happening amongst the slaves, those who were being set free. There was this day-long celebration, and it led up to midnight at the time that they were finally going to be free. And at midnight, what they did is they built this casket, and they threw in their shackles and the whips that were used against them as they were slaves and all of these other instruments of slavery. They put them in this casket and they buried it, and there was this great huge celebration that the slaves were free. But what happened at that time is there was some slave owners in the back country of Jamaica, away from the cities, who knew that their slaves were free and didn't tell them. They continued to tell them that they were slaves. So what did the slaves do? What did these people do that believed they were slaves? They continued to live like slaves. They lived under slavery. And the truth is, they didn't know the truth. They didn't know that they were free. Though they were free, they continued to live like slaves. And that can happen a lot today. Though we are free, if you know Jesus, if you've accepted Him into your life, if you've said yes to Him and received His free gift of salvation, you are free. But the enemy, the world, our flesh would tell us that we're not, and so we continue to live like slaves in our sin. And Jesus wants to set us free from that. He wants us to live like we are free. He wants us to know that we are free and walk in that freedom. Last week, Mac took us through the first topic of the power of forgiveness. And he told us how we live, everything we do, everything we live for, and every action we make is lived out of who we think we are, out of who we view ourselves as. So how do you view yourself this morning, Christian? Do you know that you're free? Do you live like you're free? Or are you living under the lie that you're still a slave? We have to fight for our freedom, just like that clip we just saw. We have to fight to walk in that freedom and to live like we are free. We have to fight against the lies of the enemy. So this morning we're going to be looking at five freedom-giving promises of forgiveness. Promises that we can apply to our lives and hopefully help us live out the truth that we are free in Christ's forgiveness for us. Galatians 5:1 says, For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We can walk in newness of life. We can walk in freedom away from our sin. Though we will continue to sin, though we will never completely ever be free of our sin and our flesh until we go home to be with Jesus, we don't have to live like slaves under our sin. We don't have to feel like we can't defeat something in our lives, because Jesus will give us freedom. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll dive into these five promises. Jesus, we love you this morning. Thank you for worship. Thank you for the opportunity to sing to you, God. I pray, like that last song we just sang, I pray you would pull us closer to you right now, God. Pull us to your heart. Let us hear your heartbeat. Let us just know what is on your heart, God. As you're our good Father, God, you look at us as your children, and you want us to walk in the freedom of your forgiveness. You want us to live like we're free, God. So I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray those of us that know you, that we would hear you this morning, God. And for those that don't know you, God, if someone hasn't entered into that forgiveness, God, I pray you would do that for them this morning. You'd pull them to yourself, Lord. We love you and commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So our first promise of forgiveness this morning is there's nothing left to forgive. This is kind of coming off of Max's talk last week, so I won't spend too much time on this, but Christian, you need to know God has forgiven all of your sins. If you didn't hear last week's message, I would encourage you to go to our website and listen to it. There's a lot of good verses, a lot of good truth that God has forgiven all of your sins. The moment that you enter into a relationship with Jesus, at that moment, every one of your sins is forgiven, past, present, and future. There's nothing left to forgive. Even the next time you sin, there's nothing left to forgive. You are forgiven for that sin. Romans 6, 10 through 11 says, "For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." In Colossians 2, 13 through 14 says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." That's a good promise this morning. If you know Jesus, he has forgiven all of your sins. Though you were once dead in your sin, God has made you alive in Christ because of his sacrifice, because of his atonement for your sins. So if you ever hear that you are not forgiven for your sins, if you know Jesus, you need to believe the truth and the promise that all of your sins are forgiven. We need to walk in that freedom. The second point this morning is there's nothing left to sacrifice. You may think we don't sacrifice anymore. Let's read this verse. Hebrews 10, 14 through 18 says, "Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." And you may think, God, Caleb, it's 2015. We don't sacrifice. We don't, if we sin, we don't grab a cow or something in the field next to us, and we don't slit its throat and bleed it out and burn it on an altar to God. We don't do that. You're right. But we do think that we're giving sacrifice a lot of times. If we sin, if there's something we struggle with, we might think that God is mad at us, that he is that he wants us to some way atone for our sins. So we come to church and we clean ourselves up and we come and we put extra money in the tithe box, or we volunteer at a homeless shelter, or some people might count beads, or they say these long prayers and they think that these are going to atone for their sins. In and of themselves, those things are not bad, but they don't forgive us of our sins. There's nothing that we do once we've entered into a relationship with Jesus. There's nothing that we can do that will give us more forgiveness than we already have. Jesus has forgiven us all of our sins. You don't need to tithe more. You don't need to come to church for your sins to be forgiven. Psalm 51, 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That's what God wants from us when we sin, when we God wants us to acknowledge that what we did was wrong. He wants us to be humble before him. This is what David said about his sin, is that God wants us to be humble, to be have a contrite heart, to have a bruised heart before God, that we understand that we're sensitive to our sin, and we say, yeah, God, you're right, that was wrong, help me turn away from that. But we don't go then and have all these actions and these sacrifices that are going to atone for our sins, because that's already done. We try and, in sacrifice, we try and give penance. And this is the definition of penance: voluntary self-punishment in order to atone for some wrongdoing. When we can't atone for our wrongdoing, there's nothing that we can do. Penance is a form of works, and we are saved apart from our works, apart from anything that we can do. We're saved by grace, the blood of Christ alone. And we try and pay for our sins. It's when the sins are already paid for. It's like my dad is a very generous man. I've been blessed to have my dad in my life. He's always been a very generous man, and sometimes there's been times that I've gone out to eat with him, and even maybe with some friends in a big group. Maybe some of you have even been there. And I'll be sitting there eating dinner, and my dad somehow, without anyone noticing, sneaks away, and maybe he'll pick up the bill for everybody sitting there. And not in any way that he's looking for recognition or anything. And he'll come back, and somebody will say, I got to pay the bill. And he'll say, no, it's okay, it's taken care of. And somebody might say, no, I'm going to pay this. I'm going to pay this. And it can be like, well, no, it's already paid for. It's already put on the card. There's nothing left to pay. You don't have to pay any more money. And if somebody were to just say, no, I'm going to pay for this. You don't pay for this. I'm going to pay for this meal. That's just kind of proud, isn't it? It's just when it's already been paid for. And we can do that with our sin. Jesus has already paid for our sin. And we might stumble and we might fall, and we'll come back and we'll say, Jesus, I'm gonna pay for this sin. I'm gonna feel bad. I'm gonna go tithe more. I'm gonna do these acts of service so that I can pay for them. And Jesus just looks at us and just says, no, it's paid for. Walk in the freedom I've given you already. Walk in the newness of life. Acknowledge sin. Yes, repent from it, turn away from it. But we don't have to do anything to pay for our sin any longer. And really, if you want to pay for your sin, the only way that you can do that is for you to go to hell. So stop. We need to just stop thinking that we can atone for our sin by our works, by our sacrifices. Because if we really want to pay for our sin, the only thing we can do is to go to hell. And Jesus already paid for our sin. He already died for it, and he's already forgiven our sin. That's a good promise. Our third point this morning is there's nothing left to confess. We are righteous by faith, not by works. Maybe you've grown up in a religion or a church where they tell you, for you to be forgiven of your sins, you need to come to somebody. You need to go to somebody and confess all your sins. You need to have your laundry list of your sins, and you need to meet with maybe the pastor or the priest or whoever it may be, and you need to sit there and confess all your sins. Otherwise, they're not going to be forgiven. But any sort of confession does not atone for our sins. Again, that's a form of works. And we don't have to confess all of our sins to be forgiven. Again, we need to acknowledge them. I'm not saying we don't turn to God and say, yes, God, you're right. I've sinned. I've wronged you. I've done this. Help me walk away from it. But our confession, again, doesn't forgive us of our sins. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And again, Philippians 3:9 says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Again, God wants us to acknowledge our sin, And he wants us to turn to him and repent of it. But even, I don't think God wants us to sit and think every time before I do anything, before I start the day, God wants me to dig up every little thought that I've done and be crippled by guilt in my life that I need to turn to him and make sure I've confessed every little thing that I've done. That's not freedom. That's fear. That's fear that if we don't acknowledge every little thing, if we miss something, God's going to be mad at us and he's not going to forgive us of that sin. And that's not the case, Christian. Jesus wants you to walk in freedom. He wants you to walk in the life that he's given you and the freedom he's given you and the forgiveness he's given you and not have to think that we say confessions for our sins to be forgiven. I remember a couple of times as I've gone to a brother to just talk about and be honest, be open with something I'm struggling with or something that I had done in the past. And I remember this brother just looking at me and just say, "Caleb, Jesus already died for that. Walk in newness of life. Walk in that." We think, "Oh, I got to confess all this and I have to make sure I get it. I come clean about it all." When you become a Christian, Jesus has forgiven that. Jesus died for that. And we walk in that forgiveness and that freedom. And, you know, I think there's a verse in 1 John 1:9 that a lot of times Christians can take and just think that this applies to confession in this area of confession for our sins to be forgiven. Again, confession's not wrong. Accountability is not wrong with a brother or a sister. But it's not what forgives us. And 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It's kind of like a bar of soap, like a Christian bar of soap where, if when you're a kid and you said something wrong, maybe your mom or your dad made you put a bar of soap in your mouth and it's like, you need to feel bad about this and this is going to clean up that wrong thing you said. But I don't think that's what this verse means, that we have to confess every single one of our little sins, tiny little sins, dig up everything, make sure we feel guilty about it for our sins to be forgiven after we've entered into a relationship with Jesus because it's been forgiven. The two verses before this says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So, when we enter into that relationship with Jesus, the Son cleanses us from all sin. And then two verses later it says, "But if we confess," like we have to continue confessing. We have to go to somebody and confess all of our sins. We have to get on our knees every morning and make sure we dig up everything in our lives and make sure we acknowledge everything and that if God brings something to your conscience, if he pricks your heart, repent of it, turn from it. But I don't think that's walking in freedom if we walk around with our head low and we feel bad about ourselves constantly. Jesus wants us to walk in the new life. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this, "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Take hold of that eternal life. Take hold of that new life, that freedom that you were called to when you made the good confession. When you confess your sins, when you turn to Jesus and you said yes to him and he forgave you of your sins, at that moment, you were forgiven. And that was the good confession. So we need to walk in that life, in that freedom. The fourth point this morning is there's nothing left to punish. There's nothing left to punish. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." So many people we meet think that if they sin, they're going to be punished. God does correct us as he's a good father, as a son. As I correct my son when when he does something that disobeys me. But Jesus has already taken on the ultimate punishment for our sin when he died on the cross. So the truth is, Christian, you will never experience the punishment that your sin deserves. That's the truth. If you sin today, if we do sin every day, but we think we're going to be punished, that we're going to feel the wrath of God, and the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus on the cross. He took your sins upon him, and he nailed them to the cross, and so we won't ever experience that punishment. That's just amazing. We can walk in that freedom, in that life-giving freedom, that we will not experience the punishment that our sin deserves. Jesus already died for that. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. There's a tradition in a few countries, but one of them I saw was in the Philippines, around the time of Easter. There will be this group of young men, and to make sure that their sins are forgiven and to make sure that they show God that they're truly sorry for their sins, instead of just walking in the freedom and the life that God has given them, what they'll do is they'll put on these masks over their head, they'll take their shirts off, and they'll take these whips with leather, or some of them with glass, and they'll walk through the streets barefoot of the city, and they'll just whip their backs over and over. And they're taking on the punishment that their sin deserves. And they'll walk through, some of them do it so long and so much that they pass out from losing so much blood. In some countries, some people even allow themselves to be crucified, to hang on a cross. Not to the point of death, but they feel like they need to feel the punishment that their sin deserves. And maybe we don't do something so extreme here, but how many times do we feel like we need to punish ourselves? We need to take a time out from God to make sure he knows that we're really sorry for our sin. Or maybe it's not physical, but we beat ourselves up. We believe the lies that Satan tells us, that you're no good, that you're not forgiven. When, like we looked at last week, you are a child of God, Christian. You are a saint. When Jesus looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. He doesn't look at you and say, oh, there's this, 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 and this. He sees you and looks at you as his son, as his daughter. And we don't need to walk around and punish ourselves, because Jesus already took on the punishment for us. Does that make sense? Do we walk in that? Do we have freedom? Do we hold our head high? Not that we don't acknowledge our sin, not that we don't struggle, but we walk in newness of life. We understand that Jesus took on that punishment for us. Colossians 2:13 through 14 says, God made us alive with Christ. You're alive in Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. That's what Jesus did for you. Jesus took your sin and he nailed it to the cross when he hung there on the cross. He paid for your sin. And if you don't know Jesus, if he hasn't taken away your sin, if you haven't acknowledged your need for him and accepted his free gift, I would challenge you, I'd pray that you would do that this morning. Because the only way you're going to pay for your sin is the punishment of God by going to hell. But Christian, there's no punishment for us. God may correct us. He may say, nope, you're being stupid. Don't do that. Come back to me. But he won't punish you in that same way. Jesus took on the punishment. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. You don't have to make your own wounds. You don't have to punish yourself. Jesus took on that punishment for you. Um, Jesus took on that punishment for us on the cross. That's what we deserve for our sin, and Jesus took that away and says, walk in my holiness, walk in my righteousness, walk in my life that I've given you. There's a story of Billy Graham. You guys know the great evangelist Billy Graham. At this time, he was going around the world and preaching and leading lots of people to Jesus, sharing the gospel. And God used this man in great ways. And there's a story that while one time he was on a break from his crusades, if you will, going around the world, and he was driving in his home state, and he was speeding. And a police officer pulled him over and gave him a ticket, and he was going, he was speeding on the road. In those days, you had to go straight to the court and pay your fine. It wasn't like, here's your ticket, mail it in, mail your fine in. So Billy Graham goes to the courthouse, and again, this is in his hometown, so he goes and he sees the judge, and the judge is like, oh, Billy, hi. Looks like you were speeding. It looks like you were breaking the law of speeding, and so you have to pay this fine. And Billy says, yeah, I understand. And he goes to take out his wallet, and the judge, before Billy could pay the fine, says, no, I'm going to pay it for you. So he takes out his checkbook, and he pays the fine for Billy Graham. And then the story goes on that he then, after Billy left, the judge took him out for a steak dinner. So he pays his speeding ticket and then takes him out for a steak dinner. And Billy has told this story, and then there's this quote that he says, that is how God treats repentant sinners. He pays your fine and then takes you out for a steak dinner. Jesus has paid our fine. He has taken on the punishment that we deserve. And then he wants to take us out and show us this free life, this full life that he has offered for us. He doesn't want us to walk around whipping ourselves and feeling bad about ourselves and making sure we show God that we're really sorry. He wants us to live for him, live on mission, live for the gospel, live for him. And you know, for some, grace is hard to understand. This concept is really hard. Maybe your upbringing or your background, there wasn't a whole lot of grace in your life. Maybe with your parents or with your church or at your school or whatever it may be. And there's not a whole lot of grace. But this is the truth. This is the freedom. The enemy would want us to believe that there's no grace, that we need to feel bad about ourselves. Titus 3:5 says this, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new life through the Holy Spirit. That's good truth. It's hard to understand, though, sometimes. There's another story of Napoleon, the great emperor of France. And there's a story that there was a soldier who committed a crime, a certain offense. He committed it twice, and the justice, the punishment that he deserved was execution, to die. So this young man, this young soldier is going to be executed. But the story goes that this boy's mother, this soldier's mother, came to Napoleon, and it says that she pleaded for justice, or she pleaded for mercy. She says, I know what he deserves is death, but I plead for mercy. I don't ask for justice, I plead for mercy. And Napoleon replied, your son does not deserve mercy. And the woman said, sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. It would not be mercy if he deserved it, but mercy is what I ask for. And Napoleon answered, well then, I will have mercy. And she let him, and he let the soldier go, and he lived. See, we don't deserve grace. We don't deserve mercy. So it's hard to understand. We should be punished for our sins. But Jesus took on the punishment for our sins upon himself. And that gives us freedom. So, we don't deserve it. Jesus spared our life. God spared our life, and we can walk in newness of life. And our fifth point this morning is there is nothing left to enslave us. There's nothing left to enslave us. Though ignorance leads to slavery. We can be ignorant to these truths that there is nothing left to enslave us. That we, just like the slaves in Jamaica who didn't know they were free, they were ignorant to the truth that they were freed. They continued to live like slaves. And we can't be Christian. We can't be ignorant to the truth that we are free in Jesus, that we have freedom to live for Him, to be on mission, and to turn away from sin. We don't have to be a slave to our sin anymore. Galatians 4:9 says, "But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more?" Jesus doesn't want us to be enslaved in our sin anymore. He has set us free. Don't go back to your old ways, your old life of being a slave. And again, we act, we live, we do as we see ourselves. If we believe that we're slaves, if we believe we're nothing but sinners, if we believe we're nothing but God, people who deserve God's punishment and wrath, and we need to confess every little thing, and we need to dig up all of our guilt and make sure God knows we're really sorry, then we will live like that. But if we believe the truth, if we know the truth that we are free, we are no longer slaves, we can live as free men and women. 1 Peter 2 says, live as people who are free. Don't use your freedom as an excuse for sin or for the flesh, but live as servants of God. Live as bond servants of God, that we were once slaves in our sin, but now we are free and we will live for God. The gospel brings freedom. The truth that Jesus died for our sins while we were yet sinners brings freedom. And John 8:36 says, so if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. Has Jesus set you free this morning? Do you live as you're free? Do we walk in that freedom? Do we walk in that new life? Or do we walk around with our head low, thinking we're just slaves of sin, that we're slaves and that God's mad at us? The gospel brings freedom. Jesus has set us free, and we are free. So, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the truth that you did die for us, that while we were yet sinners, while we were slaves to our sin, while we were in rebellion to you, Jesus, you came, you loved us, you died on the cross for us, you took on the punishment that we deserved, and you gave us freedom, you gave us life. God, help us to not run and be slaves of our sin, to not live for ourselves. Help us to run and to fight for our freedom, to fight to live in the freedom that we have, to fight to live in that truth, God, to not just lay down and say, yeah, we're sinners, we're slaves, God, but you have set us free, God. So help us to walk in that this week, God, even today, God. Even if we stumble, even if we fall, God, but to get up, to acknowledge, and to walk away, Lord, and walk towards you, walk away from our sin and walk in our freedom, Lord, that you've given us. God, that is the truth this morning, God. We are no longer slaves. God, I thank you for that. God, I pray if anyone here this morning doesn't know you, that you would speak to them, you would show them yourself, God, show them the freedom that you can give them for their lives, Lord. Pray that you would save some this morning, God, by your grace, by your goodness, by your love. Lord, we love you. Pray you'd help us to respond to you now and worship, God, and just to sing to you as you deserve. Lord, we love you and pray this in your name. Amen.